you're here. Fellowship's sweeter, knowing you're near. It's so good to see you, I hope that it's fair. Everyone loves you, we're glad you're here.
Reading from Galatians 5, verses 22 and 23. But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, forbearance, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. Against such things there is no law. That was Galatians 5, verse 22 through 23.
Oh, magnify the Lord with me. Let us exalt his name together. It is Friday, January 30th, 2026. We're going to soon say happy February. It's hard to believe. We're just marching along into 2026. It's kind of incredible, and I hope you're going to be blessed by today's discussion and broadcast. We're going to be talking about self-control. And once again, I'm joined by Pastor Mark Johnson of Calvary Church here in Springfield. Appreciate him carving out the additional time. He has a busy schedule like most pastors do, and he's pulled in many, many different directions, but he's always prepared and studied and prayed up, and he loves talking about this fruit of the Spirit. And today we'll be focusing on self-control, asking the honest question, who or what is really in control of our lives? From Galatians 5, and that's our good friend June, and she's heading to serve on her 47th mission trip to Ghana. So we appreciate her so very much and the work that she's doing, extending kingdom influence, power, and presence in Ghana, in the hospitals, training people, equipping doctors to love on all those that have these various needs. So we'll be praying her up in the days ahead. But today we're going to talk about real-life struggles, daily dependence on God, and how the Holy Spirit produces strength within us, not perfection, but faith-filled, God-honoring choices. Self-control, that's the last fruit mentioned in that listing that we look at in Galatians 5, verses 22 and 23.
Mark, for the last several weeks, we've been talking about John 10:10, where Jesus promises us that we can have life and have it abundantly or have it to the full. And then you've got to define that, because we've got the flesh trying to tell us what the life to the full is. We have culture trying to tell us what life to the full is. All sorts of voices telling us what life to the full is. What does Scripture tell us about life to the full? Well, I found as I prayed through this and as I've talked with people over the years, if you don't have peace, you don't have life to the full. If you're not sure of the steps of your life, you're not walking in security, you don't have life to the full. If you don't have a sense of belonging, you don't have a sense of wholeness and belonging to a group, you feel alone and you don't have life to the full. If you don't have a spirit that is a spirit of self-control, you don't have life to the full. And so we've talked about all of these. And so here's my question for everybody here today. What are some places in our life where we can lose self-control and we can end up being controlled? Anybody have a thought?
Well, the truth of the matter is that we are never in control. God is ultimately in control. Oftentimes, we have a plan for our life. We have a purpose for our life. But in the middle of all that, surprises could happen, whether it's in our health, whether it's our career, whether it's someone, you know, that we trust disappoints us. And so in the middle of that, that's when we need God to take control, to enter in. And Jesus was one of the best examples of someone in control. The world was always chaotic around him. During the time when he walked on the earth, babies were being asked to be killed. All kinds of chaos was happening in this world. But what did he do? He did only what the Father asked him to do. And I guess we can take an example from that.
That's all good and that's all true. Yet in the Scripture, it tells us that part of the fruit of the Spirit, part of the evidence that the Spirit of God is growing in us, is self-control. And I've been around a lot of people who may even claim to be Christians, and yet have some element of their life that is not controlled. And I've got to seek God for that. So let me just point out a couple. And we can think of the big ones. You think of addictions. Somebody can be sitting in the church and they have an addiction issue. Somebody can be living their life and be a functioning alcoholic. They can go to work every day, and yet they come home every night and alcohol takes over. They can have an anger problem that when things don't go their way, they lose control. They blow up. And I've known Christians who've had that problem. And we've had to sit and talk and talk about how do we overcome this emotional thing. And they'll talk about, well, my dad had this, or my home where I grew up in had this, and this is just the way I've learned to do. How do we overcome that? A seeking of pleasure can control some people's lives. Eating can control my life. All of a sudden, I'm not doing what's healthy for me, what's good for me. So all of these things control life. Pornography. You know, we're told today by the statisticians who study these things that pornography is a huge problem in our nation. Well, we see that, but we also hear that it's a huge problem in the church, that there are men who are addicted to pornography in the church, sitting there every week, and they can't get control of it. So how do I bring control and that self-control into my life? Well, it's a fruit of the Spirit. How do we begin to make a change in our life?
Well, I was going to add another one, kind of conviction of mine, is careless words. Mm-hmm. You know, some of those other ones don't really apply that much, but careless words, you know, how often do I say something and regret it, or that wasn't led by God, that was led by the flesh, or by anger, or by impatience, or I'm not being kind. Some of the other fruits I'm not exhibiting, I'm not being loving. And so how oftentimes we can say careless words. So I throw that out because you might be somebody like me that says, Lord, as you order my steps today, help me also be mindful of the careless words. Or when you're going to take the phone call or call somebody up, Lord, through this conversation, help me be the fragrance of Christ. Let me be a builder-upper or an encourager.
You know, that's really perfect, Mark. Psalm 17:14, psalmist writes, let the words of my mouth and the meditations of my heart be acceptable unto you, O Lord, my Redeemer, my strength and my Redeemer. Mm. And so there's part of that process of moving us towards being self-controlled, understanding that there's something going on in me that I need God to bring transformation in. So think about this. The enemy's chief weapon is lies. He tells us lies, we become comfortable with things, and we have to get those things out of our life. Now, when I come to a full understanding, when I come to clarity, this isn't good. Mm. This isn't good. The way I act when I get mad, when I get angry, when somebody disappoints me, when my wife doesn't do what I want, this isn't good. I've got to change this. Or wait a second, I can't have peace in my heart. The only way I feel a bit of peace in my heart is if I'm drinking. Mm. I've got alcohol in me. Well, alcohol's now taken the place of the Holy Spirit in you.
Right.
The Holy Spirit's the one who's supposed to bring you peace.
That's right.
Whatever it might be, or look at how much, you know, I'm not eating ways in ways that are healthy, that are good for me, and I can't control it. Wherever I recognize that to be, pornography, wherever you recognize it to be, now I've got to begin this wrestling match of how am I going to overcome this thing? How am I going to be self-controlled? And that comes back, June, to what you said. This is a fruit of the Spirit. This is allowing the Spirit to move in me. And so that's where the self-control begins at, is by me recognizing the issue by the Word of God. What is the Word of God saying to me? And me coming under the conviction that this needs to change and recognizing I can't change it on my own.
So there's really, for our varied listeners, there's some that have surrendered to Christ, and so they can operate with the power of the Holy Spirit, helping, assisting them, bearing these fruits, these fruit of the Spirit. But for somebody that maybe doesn't know Christ, but sometimes we see them as, wow, they're kinder than the Christian I know. I have a friend I've been witnessing to for about 20 or 30 years, and he's like the Good Samaritan. He's more of a Christian than some Christians I know. And so I sometimes kid with him. You know, I won't mention his name, but I'll say to him, I'll say, you know, I love how you are so kind, or you'd be the first one to pull over to the side of the road and help somebody. And so he has some great disciplines, but I long for him to know the true peace that he can have through Jesus Christ. So what would you say to that listener that's driving along and doesn't have a relationship with God, and so those fruits aren't evident, but they're kind or decent people, so they maybe think in their minds, well, I'm a good person, so I'll get into heaven, but that's not how you get into heaven.
Yeah, I had a neighbor that was quite a bit like that. He was a great guy, and he actually told me, I was witnessing, sharing with him one day, and he said, I'm probably better than all the people in your church. And I said, well, that's a little prideful, but you may be.
Yeah.
You may be. That doesn't mean you're saved.
Right.
We're only saved through Jesus. What I have found is that I may be very self-controlled because self-control is just part of my nature. So I may be very self-controlled in working out. And I get up every morning. I go work out every morning. I'm very conscious of what I eat and what I do. And yet I may not be self-controlled in some other area of my life. Most of us have that struggle. Even as Christians, we're growing in the Spirit. There's some place in our life where we need self-control. And so we come back to how do we get that in the presence of God?
Yeah, and I think last week when we talked about purpose and the importance of having that purpose, that calling that God gives you, is it's represented in how you serve others or how you serve mankind in various ways. And I think as we think about self-control, and we talked about this before off air, when we look at those fruits of the Spirit, the love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control, when we operate self-centeredly, like where we're not loving as God would have us love, or we're not peaceful, we're bringing anxiety, or we're creating commotion in maybe a conversation or a situation, or we're not being patient. We're sitting at the light and the person doesn't move within the 2 seconds and we're like angry, or we're not being kind, and we can go through this. And I think anytime I operate outside of all this, not being gentle, are we gentle with our words, with our expressions, the way we look at somebody? Anytime we operate outside of any of these, we're in the flesh. And it's only by following Jesus, surrendering. I was thinking of the word surrendering. We have to really surrender to God to find that self-control, right?
Well, that's where it's going to come in the key issue of life. And I'd really like to speak to the people who are listening today who have a big issue that's out of control. So you have a pornography issue. Maybe nobody knows about it but you, and yet it controls your life. And after you've looked at pornography for a while or done something, you go away and you think, I'm never going to do that again. And you go right back to it. Maybe you have an alcohol or drug addiction, and you think, I'm never going to do that. Or you have a temper. I'm never going to do that again. I'm never going to act that way again. And yet you go back and you do. What is the process that we go through? Now, here's where it's tricky, because you can be sitting there thinking, this isn't a problem. So you've got to face the problem. Maybe the Holy Spirit's speaking to you right now and saying, yep, the guy's talking to you. He's talking to you right now. And you're raising up all of your excuses of why there's nothing wrong with it. But it's a problem. It's getting in the way of your life. It's getting in the way of your relationships. It's getting in the way of a lot of other things, your success, in the way of your health. At some point in time, the first step is recognizing, I have this thing in my life that controls me. So here's what I would say. If you're sitting out there and you're saying, no, I drink a lot, but it's not too much. It's okay. Give it up for a week. Lay it down for a week. See if you're in control. You say your temper's not bad. Lay it down for a week. Don't lose your temper for a couple of weeks. Just say, I'm not going to do it. No matter what happens, I'm going to control myself. See how much control you're in. If you're sitting there thinking, you know, you come under conviction, maybe you're overeating, you know, bring some control in it for a week. Check and see how controlled you are. Lay that drug aside. Lay that thing aside that's controlling your life and see how controlled you are. What you're going to discover is, you are not in control. That's what you're going to discover. You're going to discover that that thing is seeping back into your life all of the time. And so I would just encourage you. Now, when you find that out, what do you do with it? Some of these things are so big that you've got to get some accountability in your life. So you may have a pornography problem. and it can be so big, you've got to find some group of men who've been through this and have found their way through it. You have an alcohol problem, you may need to go to some group of godly men who've had that problem and find your way through it. Accountability helps. But Mark, what I would come back to, a lot of guys, I've dealt with, like, yeah, I'm going to beat this on my own. And I would just tell you, you probably, if it's really big in your life, you probably won't beat it on your own. Accountability is going to help you. When you know somebody's going to call you tomorrow and say, how'd you do yesterday? When you know you're going to a group next Wednesday night and they're going to ask you, how'd you do this week? There's some account. When you know there's somebody, hey, I'm struggling, I can call this guy right now. Hey, I'm struggling right now. Help me. Talk to me. Be with me. That helps us get through and break through the bondage of that. So that's one of the first steps if you're having something that's really big in your life.
Well, with full disclosure, during Mark and Friends, you know, we're all family here. One thing I learned, I don't know how many months back it was, but one area I struggle with is being patient. I want to charge ahead. I got an agenda. I have things to accomplish. And so I'm impatient. My wife's pointed that out, and others I'm sure have too. But the root of that, and I just came to this maybe in my own terms, or the Lord brought it to my mind, was pride. Mm-hmm. That my time is more important. My schedule is more important. My objectives are more important. And even though my intent was maybe great and God-honoring, it was all about my. And the Lord has been helping me realize that, you know, everyone is valuable. This other person's time is just as equally valuable. And so I've just had to refocus my mind is I'm being impatient because it's about me right now.
Mark, you said something really important. You say, hey, my wife has talked to me or others have talked to me about this. Every one of us needs some group of people that we give permission to say anything to us. Now, I get up in front of the whole church and say, if you see anything in my life that's not consistent with Scripture, you are welcome to talk to me. I don't encourage everybody to do that.
Yeah.
That's a lot of people. I can work my way through people assuming things and having their own agendas to get to what is the truth. But if somebody says something to me and I disagree with them, instead of being angry with them, instead of being hurt by them, what I do is I go to others. And I ask. I remember asking my mom and dad once. Somebody had said something to me, and I didn't like it. And I said to them, hey, this is what this person said to me. And they said, yeah, you probably ought to pray about that. And I was like, oh, that hurts. But you've got to have people in your life who can say anything. You know, for me as a pastor, I have a group of elders in our church, and if somebody accuses me of something, writes something about me, posts something on Facebook negative about me, which, you know, happens, people get mad and say stuff, or they have their own imagination, I will sit with the elders and I'll say, this is what was said, look what was said, what do you think? What do you think? And it's a joyous moment when they look and they say, Pastor, that person has just got an agenda.
Yeah.
We don't see that in you at all. On the other side, Pastor, you may need to pay attention to that.
Yeah.
You may need to pay attention to that. Yeah. That helps keep up. But all of us need somebody that can speak to us.
Yeah. Yes.
Especially if we have something that we know is out of control.
Yes.
The Spirit of God convicts us. You're listening to something like this. And as soon as we say self-control, this pops into your mind. Why? Why does it pop into your mind? You know, when I say this, eating hamburgers doesn't pop into my mind.
Yeah.
There's something else going to pop into my mind. If it pops into my mind, I've got to get control of this. I know I need the Spirit of God. I know it's a fruit of the Spirit. So we're getting about out of time. So let me just give you. One, you have to acknowledge the problem. You have to acknowledge the issue. You have to ask God to renew your thinking because your thinking has to see it as shameful. I don't do things that are shameful. And I've got to see it. This is hindering to my walk with God, I need to repent. I need to ask God to restore in me a clean spirit. Renew my mind, renew my spirit. And I need to accept the fact that I need God. So I begin to pray for that thing. I bring accountability into my life. I begin to pray about that thing. I don't make excuses for it anymore. If you lose your temper again later, you don't make it, well, they did this or that or the other. No, I lost my temper.
Yeah. Own it.
Yeah. Own it. Yeah. It's yours. No, I got drunk again. Okay, this is my issue. Mm-hmm. It doesn't matter what happened at work that day. It doesn't matter what took place before. My issue. And the Spirit of God will begin to breathe strength into our life so that we can have self-control. It's part of the fruit of the Spirit. Now remember, fruit of the Spirit. He said fruit intentionally because fruit grows. We don't get it all at once. It grows. We become more joyful. We become more loving. We become more kind. We grow in those things. And we expand that in our life. And self-control, he wants it to grow in our life.
Well, listening friend, this concludes our series in Living Life to the Full. If you want to listen to some of the past broadcasts, because they go back many months, because all of December we had special programming, but you can find these programs on Friday by Pastor Mark Johnson with Calvary Church in a Room of Friends at greatnewsradio.org and WLUJ.org under the Mark and Friends tab. Today we looked at self-control, so thank you for joining us for the Friday edition of Mark and Friends, and may God strengthen you through His Spirit to walk in self-control, not in your own strength, but through daily dependence on Him, making choices that honor the Lord and bring freedom. And you can speak life into others as you hold them accountable in a loving way, as you meet with others, as you meet in a small group, as you attend church. Let's be vulnerable and let's be open to how God would bring healthy conviction that will help us draw near to Him. And so that would be our prayer for you today. Well, thanks for listening. Thanks for being a part of our radio listening family. This is Mark Burns and Pastor Mark Johnson and a Room of Friends with the Ministry of Great News Media. God bless you and have a great day and night.